Chapter 15, Beelzebub's First Descent to the Planet Earth. I descended to that planet Earth for the first time, Beelzebub began, on account of a young being of our tribe who had had the misfortune to become seriously involved with a three-brained being there, and in consequence had got himself mixed up in a very stupid affair. One day, several beings of our tribe, who were also dwelling on the planet Mars, came to my house with a request. They told me that one of their young kinsmen had emigrated to the planet Earth some 350 Martian years earlier, and that recently he had been the cause of an incident with very disagreeable consequences for all of them. They went on to say that we, his kinsmen, those of us existing on the planet Earth and here on Mars, at first intended to deal with this unpleasant situation by ourselves, with our own resources. But in spite of all our efforts and the measures we have taken, we have so far been unable to accomplish anything. And now, being finally convinced that we are unable to settle this unpleasant affair alone, we venture to trouble you, your right reverence, and beseech you to be kind enough not to withhold your wise advice as to how to find a way out of our unhappy situation. They then described in detail the misfortune that had befallen them. From all they told me, I saw that this incident was disagreeable not only for the kinsmen of this young being, but also, quite possibly, for all the beings of our tribe. So I could not do otherwise than undertake at once to help them settle this difficulty of theirs. At first, I tried to help them without leaving the planet. But when I became certain that it would be impossible to do anything effective from so far away, I decided to go down to the planet Earth and there on the spot to find some way out. And the very next day, taking with me everything that might be necessary, I flew there on the ship Occasion. I may remind you that the Occasion was the ship on which all of the beings of our tribe were transported to that solar system, and that it had been left for our use in interplanetary communication. This ship was based on the planet Mars, and its supreme command had been entrusted to me from above. And so it was, on this ship Occasion, that I made my first descent to the planet Earth. On this very first visit of mine, our ship landed on the shores of that very continent, which later, during the second misfortune to this planet, disappeared entirely from its surface. This continent was called Atlantis, and was then the principal place of existence for the three-brained beings of that planet, and likewise for most of our tribe. Having disembarked, I went straight from the ship Occasion to the city named Samlios, where that unfortunate young being of our tribe, who was the cause of this descent of mine, had the place of his existence. Samlios was, at that time, a very big city, and the capital of the largest community on the planet Earth. This city was the dwelling place of the head of this large community, and he was called King Apollos. It was with King Apollos that our young, inexperienced countrymen had become involved. And it was in Samlios that I learned all the details of the affair. It seems that before this incident, our unfortunate countryman, being on friendly terms with the king, was often at his palace. And one day, while visiting the king in the course of conversation, our young countryman made a wager that was the starting point of all that followed. You must remember that the community over which King Apollos reigned and the city of Samlios, where he existed, were, at that period, the greatest and the richest on the earth. For the upkeep of all this wealth and grandeur, King Apollos naturally needed a great deal of what is called money, and for this exacted a great deal of labor from the ordinary beings of that community. And here I must remark that at that time of my first descent in person to this planet, the organ Kundebuffer no longer existed in the three-brained beings who interest you. But in some of them, various consequences of the properties of that organ, so maleficent for them, had already begun to be crystallized. In the period to which my tale refers, there had been thoroughly crystallized in a number of beings on that planet the consequences of one property which, while the organ Kundebuffer itself was still functioning in them, had enabled them, without remorse of conscience, to neglect all their obligations, whether taken upon themselves voluntarily or imposed by a superior. Whenever they did carry out an obligation, it was done only from apprehension and fear of threats from the outside. And it was just this consequence, already crystallized in certain beings of that period, that was the cause of this whole affair. And so, my boy, King Apollos, who was extremely conscientious himself about the obligations he had assumed to maintain the greatness of the community entrusted to him, did not spare either his own labor or wealth while demanding the same from all his subjects. And since the mentioned consequence of the properties of the organ Kundebuffer had by then, as I've just said, been thoroughly crystallized in certain of his subjects, he had to employ every possible kind of intimidation and threat to extract from everyone all that was needed to maintain the greatness of the community. His methods were so varied and at the same time so reasonable that even those of his subjects in whom these consequences had already been crystallized could not help respecting him, although they nicknamed him, of course behind his back, the Arch-Cunning. Well, my boy, the methods used by King Apollos to extract from his subjects what was necessary for maintaining the greatness of his community seemed to our young countrymen, for some reason or other, unjust. And he grew restive and indignant whenever he heard of some new device of the king for getting what was required. And so, one day, while talking with King Apollos, our naive young countryman could no longer contain his indignation and told the king to his face what he thought of his unconscionable conduct toward his subjects. The king did not fly into a temper, as usually happens on the planet Earth when somebody pokes his nose into what is none of his business, nor did he have him thrown out by the scruff of his neck. Instead, he even discussed the whole question with him and explained the reasons for his severity. They talked for a long time, and the outcome of their conversation was a wager. That is, they made an agreement and set it down on paper, and each one signed it with his blood. Among other things, it was agreed that from then on, the king would employ only the measures and means indicated by our countrymen to obtain what was needed from his subjects. And in the event that his subjects failed to contribute all that was required of them, according to custom, our countrymen would be responsible. And he pledged himself to procure for King Apollos's treasury whatever was necessary for the maintenance and further expansion of the capital and the whole community. And so, my boy, from the very next day, the king did indeed fulfill most honorably the obligation he had assumed in the agreement. And he conducted the government exactly as our young countryman indicated. The results of this sort of government, however, very soon proved to be quite the opposite of those anticipated by our young simpleton. The subjects of that community, chiefly, of course, those in whom the consequences of the properties of the organ Kundabuffer had already been crystallized, not only stopped paying into the treasury what was required, but even began pilfering what had already been put in. As our countryman had undertaken to furnish whatever was needed, even signing the agreement with his blood, and you know what the voluntary undertaking of an obligation means to one of our tribe, especially when signed with his blood, he soon had to begin making up to the treasury all that was lacking. First, he put in everything he had himself, then everything he could get from his kinsmen on the planet Earth. And when these had been drained dry, he turned to his kinsmen dwelling on the planet Mars. But soon, on the planet Mars also, his sources ran dry. And still, the treasury of the city of Samnios descended more and yet more, and there was no end in sight. It was just then that all the kinsmen of this countryman of ours became alarmed and decided to appeal to me to help them out of their plight.